Let's give the Lord a big hand for the Dew Media who put up all this week in, week out. It's so great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. This evening from 6 to 8, the NECF has organized together with a number of churches. NECF stands for National Evangelical Council of Fellowship of Churches. They will be launching the 40 days fast and prayer leading up to September 16. And DUMC is one of the participating churches, and our senior pastor, Pastor Chris Kam, will be leading in one of the slots. So do come, and indeed, we want to stand together to pray for this nation. Amen? Church, are you excited about the Word of God? Amen. Yes. Can I invite us to stand and want to read the Word of God aloud together? And before we do that, we'd like you to lift up the Word of God together and declare aloud and to say that the Word of God will live strongly in our lives. Amen? Amen. At a count of three, let's do it together. One, two, three. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It forms my mind, it inspires my heart, and it instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. This morning's passage is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. And let's read and declare the Word of God aloud together. Let's go. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Heavenly Father, we look to you, God, this morning. Lord, you prepare our hearts as we listen, God. We want, Lord, to be obedient children, God, to do of your will and of your word that lasts forever. So, Lord, it is you that we want to bless. It is you that we want to honor. So, Lord, we look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you take your seat, you know, bless the person and say, grace to be with you. As I was standing there serving communion together with the rest of the pastors, there was this word that came to my mind, the word directionalist. And the Word of God says to some of us, if we feel that somehow our future is unclear, the Lord is saying to you that He is your hope and that He is planning a better future for you. So later at the end of the celebration, just before that, you know, do come up, do run up, and I believe that the Lord will touch and minister and renew of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, we are now into the third part of Love One Another series. And in the first part, Pastor Key covered about the five love languages. And besides these two love languages of words and giving gift, last Thursday, about 3 days ago, I was reviewing my sermon, and my wife came up to me. She says, dear, can I date you? Wow, this is a turnaround. Usually, I will date her every week. And she said, you have finished your sermon? Yes, I have. And I just want to put it aside. So we went off. And we went off and bought lots of supplements. And because of the number of boxes, I deliberately took the burden from her hand. And not only that, as we walk into the car, I opened the car door for her. So that's acts of service That's also spending time later at Sankaya at one of the eateries, and we had a chat. But I make sure to her that don't talk about church matters, right? So we need to deliberately continue to show love to one another, especially to those that are near to us and close to us. Amen. And my wife also liked the physical touch, and I really held her hand and make sure she's like my dearest princess that I do not want to let her hand go. Amen. And then last week, terrific Terry gave an impassioned message. Really, you know, I was stirred. I was so energized by his delivery. And 2 days ago, we had a great discussion time in our cell group in regards to drawing clear boundaries. And some of us made clear our boundaries, especially when we are at close proximity, when we are spending close time with the opposite gender, so that we don't be caught up in anything that we may be, you know, regret later in the relationship that may or may not develop. And in this third Love One Another series, we look into chapter 3 of Colossians. And I was in Laodicea, which is in Turkey, and from there at the ruined site, I can actually see Colossae. And Colossae is about 2 minutes' drive. It is not like a city, it is like a big town. And that particular town is known for its eye salve, and also it's one of the main trade centers in that particular region. So there's many things that is happening there. Many people go to this, and many nations that passes through there for trades. And in this particular chapter, it's clearly divided into two portions. And an Apostle Paul paints a very vivid picture: to put off or to take off your old self, which is likened to changing our clothes. And secondly, to put on your new self in Christ, which Pastor Chris will cover for next weekend. When the Christian faith first burst and birthed onto a pagan society in Colossae that abounds in social ills and polytheistic belief system, meaning that they believe in many other gods, it brought a whole new life, a whole new perspective, and changing of their concept into being. And it's like having to overhaul a whole wardrobe of old, dirty, soiled, and filthy clothes of their old self. So what a Christian believes had a very definite connection with how we behave. When there's a life-changing behavior towards Christ's likeness, it would definitely point to the grace of a loving Savior. And this love is then expressed to one another through the behavioral transformation of the old self. The old has passed and the new has come. And in Ephesians 4, it reads, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Church, our journey as God's much-loved children, it's a new life with Christ. It is a new way of living, acting, and thinking. We are in the world, but yet not of the world. And if we do not kill our old self, that old self that is in us will eventually kill us. Proverbs 14 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to where? To death." When I underwent a cancer scare more than 4.5 years ago now, I have to put off my old lifestyle I had to change my diet. I have to cut off sweet, sugary food. And I love soup, and I have to deliberately end, you know, my craving for the piping of hot soup. And I had to change my activities, putting off the laid-back lifestyle. And I had to change my attitude, taking off procrastination. While I have the strength, while I have the energy, I yearn to achieve my bucket list. And in this passage, Apostle Paul stresses three things again and again, the recurring theme. First, in verse 5, he states here, put to death your old self. And then in verse 8, you must rid of your old self. And then he stamps it again in verse 9, take off or put off your old self. And this is a powerful imagery of changing your clothes, putting off your old self, and putting on your new. Ladies, let's say you go to a department store to look for a new dress. You find one and take it into one of the narrow changing rooms. And if you are already wearing a dress, you don't go in there and put the new dress over your old. Right? That would be illogical, outright silly when you come to think of it. Because you are not going to know that whether the new dress, will it fit? Yeah. So it only makes sense to take off the old one before you put on the new one. The big idea, you must take off the old before you put on the new. Three life-changing actions to put off our old self. The first life-changing action to put off our old self is to look up, set on the heavenly. There was an article in a foreign newspaper reported that a young man who once found a $5 bill on the street, and he resolved that from that time on that he would never lift his eyes up while walking. And the paper went on to say that over the years, this is what he accumulated: 29,516 buttons, 54,172 pins, 12 cents, a bent back, and a stingy disposition. But he also lost something valuable: the glory of the sunlight, the radiance of the stars, and the smiles of friends, and the freshness of the blue skies. Some of us, some Christians, are like that man. Keep looking down. And while they may not walk around staring at the side of the road, they are so engrossed with the things of this world, things of this life, that they give little attention to spiritual and eternal things. The question to you and to me, where are you looking? Where are you looking? And this beats an answer from us. The psychologist says, look within. And the opportunist says, look around. And the optimist says, look ahead. And the pessimist says, watch out, look out. And then you want to know what God says? Anyone? Look up, look above. Set on the heavenly. And there are three truths to set on the heavenly. The first truth is that we are raised with Christ. And in verse 1, which we read, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Being raised with Christ literally means a change in our attitude and action, which is our behavior. Let's look at what Paul wrote in Romans. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. And the Holy Communion that we partook just now, it is to remember that Christ raised from the dead and that we have life forevermore. Amen? So how do we change our behavior? By changing our thought life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it basically means let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And so Paul writes, and he stamps it again. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And he urges us then to refocus our thought life. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. There is this catchy saying, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. And if you sow an action, you reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a life. Wow, that's powerful, right? But here is the wonderful thing, and assuring thing, that when we set our minds on the things above, no matter what happens in and around our lives, one thing is still for sure, God is in control. And secondly, the truth, when we set on the heavenly, is that we died with Christ. And this is in verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, the death of our Lord Jesus is very significant. In Romans it says, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Wow, that is amazing. We thought that when a person dies, it's all over. But for Christian, death is a victory, not a defeat, because Jesus conquered death. And this means that we can have victory over our old sin nature. And Paul writes how we are to have that. And he bursts out in this strong language. He says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans, it says, for I am convinced nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, we look at verse 4, which is the third truth when we set on the heavenly. We are glorified with Christ. In verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I love these few words here. Christ, who is your life. Our life is Christ. Can someone shout, wow? You can do a better wow. Wow! That is how it is like. Wow! Our life is Christ. And as Apostle John puts it, we know that when He appears, which is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him. Wow! For we shall see Him as He is. Wow, we shall be like Him. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Oh, yes, wow. Thank you, Dr. Ling. You caught it. Wow. And Paul added a new direction to the believer's focus of attention. Not only should we look upward to the heavenly, to Christ's reign over us, but we should look forward to His return. So it is in our spiritual life, as we look upward and forward, drawing near to Christ's return, we put to death, we prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ to be prepared without wrinkle, stain, or blemish, so that when the groom appears, he will receive us, a bride that is prepared, holy and pure before him. The old self of living cannot survive. It should die. And now let's move on to the practical part, the graphics of what we are to be in Christ. The second main point, the second life-changing action to put off our new self, put to death the earthly. And in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death, the traditional word is mortify. Mortify means you make sure it is truly dead. When you kick it, there's no reaction. And these are active words, which where we must initiate and carry out. We need to engage it. And as we engage it, we say, we must kill it. And this is aided, of course, by the strength and by the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, it does us little good if we testify to God's truth, but yet we fail to live it out in our lives. And the Word of God is clear. In 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. There is an idiom which I like, walk your talk. And basically it means action speaks louder than words. Say what you mean and mean what you say, and let your words and action match. Wow. And God's words tells us to flee from sexual sin. And do you know why? This is in 1 Corinthians 6:20. I paraphrase it. We don't belong to ourselves, but God has bought us with a high price. So we must honor God with our bodies. And there's a list of, the following list of carnal sins, or sins of the flesh, or sexual sins, to put off, because it's mainly due to the wrong use of our sexuality. And the first one is sexual immorality. And the Greek word is porneia. And as you look at the word porneia, it rhymes with the word pornography. So that's where the source is, pornography. And worldwide pornography is a booming, ever-increasing booming industry, bringing in a whopping US$56 billion. And that is over 200 billion ringgit. And one MDB really pales, right? Yeah. And even Christians have been seduced and trapped. Sexual immorality here is a general term for any form of illicit sexual intercourse, which includes, in the King James Version, it says fornication. So fornication means sexual intercourse between two persons not married to each other. But it is more than that. It also covers adultery. And adultery means having sex between a married person with someone other than the lawful spouse. It also covers homosexuality, where it says that sexual attraction, which may result in sexual acts to people of one's own gender. And incest, sexual intercourse between family members and or close relatives. And then there's also the category under this, which is bestiality, which is sexual intercourse between a person and an animal, and any other imaginable sexual perversion. And the next on the list is impurity. It's the uncleanness in the moral sense. Moral is the right and wrong that we know, yeah? And it's a state of the mind, moral corruption, immorality that is acted out, especially used of sexual sins. And then lust. There's a particular verse there which cross-referenced in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This talks about the lust of the flesh. And it's an experience of strong, depraved desire, which corrupts, perverts, and degenerates the person. And then next is evil desires, a desire for something forbidden. It's an unrestrained feeling or disorderly craving behavior with sexual connotation. And then lastly, greed. A lot of times when we think of this word, we think of covetousness or wanting to gain more material wealth. But in this context, it refers to sexual immorality. It is lumped together in that category of sexual sins. And it refers to the insatiable appetite, desire to have more sexual pleasure or greed for one more sexual conquest. Let us think together. To suppose that God is neutral about all this that has just been mentioned, how we exercise our sexuality goes directly against the scripture. And our Lord has given us a boundary, very clear boundary, in which if we could exercise our sexuality within marriage, which is between a man and a woman. But outside the bounds of marriage, sex is destructive. So engaging in sexual sins as Christians is like inviting Christ to participate. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is clear. It says, flee. Run away as fast as you can. Turn around. Don't entertain from sexual immorality. He who sins sexually sins against his own body. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So when we come to think of it, it just should not be. Interestingly, Paul calls this idolatry. And the fact is, whatever has your attention has you. And Ephesians 5:3, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, improper? You may be noticing that I've been sipping my glass of water on and off. For those of you that are hearing me for the first time, there's a reason. Okay, due to the therapy that I went through, my radio and chemo, I have a side effect where I have dry mouth. And when my mouth is dry, I need to drink water, yeah? Paul says, throw it away. Throw it as far away as you can. And do you know why? He gave this warning, which is in Colossians 6, which we read. Verse 6, it says, because of this, the wrath of God is coming. One day, God will judge those who practice these sins. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Can we read aloud together the Word of God together? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or whether it is bad. The third and final life-changing action to put off our old self is to rid our old selfie. Basically, it rhymes with earthly, then heavenly. So I put selfie because most of us, we like to take selfie. Rid of the old selfie. Verses 7 to 9. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Apostle Paul reiterates. He says, is it imperative? And he uses strong word, must. You must rid of your old self. It's a command. It's deadly serious, and there's no two ways about it. And as he now moves on from the sexual sins, and he now goes on to the point of the danger of the sins of emotions and the sins of our tongues. And there are three areas of the sins of emotion that are mentioned here. Firstly, it's anger. And Paul warns us here in regards to unhealthy anger. This is an anger that directs harm to others. And if you fly off the handle, something is truly amiss. Something is not right. Words are influential. But when careless, mismanaged words express in anger, it must be cut off. It must be rid. Ephesians, it says, anger gives a foothold to the devil. We don't want the devil to be planted in us. You must get rid of it. Next is rage. But anger and rage, they are both emotional outbursts. But rage here is an extreme expression of anger. And this is an anger that is gone unchecked, bursting out often violent, uncontrollable anger. And it usually results in action without consideration for others. And rage is an intricate mixture of feeling fearful, desperation, anger, and panic, especially in a particular situation that the person is caught in. I love this verse, Psalm 37:8. It says, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Wow, it makes sense. It only leads to harm, not only for ourselves, but for others. And in order to do that, we must cut it off. So that is one way, as we cut it off, that shows of our love to one another. Next is malice. Malice is an attitude of ill will, designed to do harm towards another person. And it's often a hidden hatred within, you know, the embeddedness of our heart. And in the desire to want to take revenge in secret. 1 Peter 2:1. Again, it's repeated here. Rid yourself of all malice. Now let me ask you. You answer me, huh? Do you rejoice when your neighbor has victory? Or do you become envious? Do you delight when they are hurting? This is malice. And now we come to the list of the sins of tongues. And these are spoken words with the intention to hurt and to cut. And when it hurts and cuts, it usually separates. And it usually divides. It creates a chasm between relationships. The first one mentioned is the word slander. And the Greek root word is blasphemia. And of course, it's translated in English as blaspheme. I always remember, never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I connect with that. Hey, that's a very, very strong thing that we ought not to do. Yeah? You may have heard of this 2 weeks ago, the conniving tongue. So slander is when we destroy another person's good reputation by lies, gossip, and spreading of rumors. In Proverbs 16, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. I like to confess this. I have slandered someone before. And I've caught relaying, you know, information that put that someone in an unfavorable light when I should have just kept my mouth shut and pray for the person and pray for myself. But God gave me strength. God helped me. I went up to the person and asked for his forgiveness. Yeah. The next thing of our tongues is filthy language, foul speaking and obscene speech. A lot of time I observe that it just come out right, you know, at the tip of our lips when we are caught in a situation, you know, that we got angry, that we got frustrated, or when we are caught in a jam, or when someone comes into the path of the lane of when you are driving. Filthy language is crude talk or coarse words, and it's often filled with swearing and sexual innuendos. And a foul mouth is a mark of a polluted soul. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Whatever comes out from our mouth, does it benefit others who listen? And then the last in this category of the sin of our tongues is lying. So what is a lie? It's anything that misrepresents the truth. It is the opposite of truth, really. And it's the anything that a person attempts to deceive. I like this old saying here, a half-truth is a whole lie. I remember this. My wife called me and said, "Darling, when will you be back for dinner?" I said, "I should be back by 6:30, but somehow caught up in work, and when I tried to go out, it was all full of cars, traffic jam, and by the time I reached home, it's 8 o'clock. But now I'm smarter. I said, "Darling, I'll be back 8:30, so that I have a buffer," yeah? So what makes lying wrong? Because Satan is known as the father of all lies. You don't want to follow Satan. When a Christian lies, they are actually cooperating with Satan. Our God, on the other hand, is the God of the truth. He's the truth, the way, and the lie. And lying is utterly contrary to God's nature. So, the action here, we must rid of all this anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. The Word of God reminds us, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Lord, I desire to see many good days. Help us to keep our tongue pure. These have no place in the lives of a Christian. They are part of the old life. Three life-changing actions. The first one, set on the heavenly. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Focus upon Christ. Put to death the earthly. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, kill it. Make sure it's absolutely dead. Rid of your old selfie. You must rid of your old self that you used to walk in. Church, I once know of this man. He seldom looks up. Most of the time, he looks down. He fell into depression because he lost nearly everything. And he spent most of his hard-earned savings on medication to find a cure for his intolerable stomach pain and the mental anguish that developed because of the loss of his income. But all this failed, and increasingly, an uncontrollable anger seeped in, and it got worse. He hated himself, and in one heated moment, he banged the wall with his fist, and he fractured it. He ran away from facing his responsibilities. He abused his wife, whom he loved so much, and he didn't know what came over him. And he told me that his wife would be the last person that he would ever hurt. And he said to me, he would willingly lay down his life for his wife, which I believe he will. He wanted to end his life, but our loving God found him. Church, I'd like to introduce to you Jeffrey and Mei Ling. They will come to share with you the rest of their story in putting off his old self. Come, let's put our hands together.
Good morning. My name is Jeffrey Lim. My wife is Mei Ling. My CG leader is Adrian. We are from PJ North 2 under Pastor Leland Wong. Before knowing Jesus, I was a very strong follower of another religion. I always thought Christianity is only for rich people to get connection. In 2015, I lost my job due to the oil price drop. Result, no more income. I also in debt. People owe me money, also I cannot collect. I suffer from depressions and bad acid reflux and spend a lot of money and time in medication. Losing a job that I love is like a surgeon lost a hand. I'm an oil and gas photographer. I worry for my family future and feel hopeless. There's no peace at heart. I cannot sleep, no appetite, bad mood, always downcast face. My wife and I cannot communicate, always have breakdown. I feel hurt, insecure when my wife sought advice from other friends because I'm ego. I don't want people know about my sickness. I went to see a psychiatrist, but it was a little help. I keep changing different medicine to let me sleep better and have better mood. The medicine is a very strong tranquilizer that caused me very groggy. I could sleep for 3 days and still argue with my wife. To release the anger inside my heart, I always keep very quiet. Just don't want to talk, keep quiet. I drove the car, the family is in the car, I just drop the car and I just walk back home. Then just walk back home. So I hope I can release the anger inside my heart. But I couldn't. I felt that I couldn't manage my family and have disappointed them. So our relationship very worse. Then I want to get divorced. One day, we've argued about some family problem. So I lost control. I slapped my wife, Mei Ling. I felt it's not me because I didn't know what came over me. Because it's like totally blank out. As another quarrel in range, I broke things in the house. And then, like the plate, everything I break, the door. I shook my wife's shoulder and pushed her in the sofa. My son and my wife is really scared. So they just leave the house and let me alone. That time, I want to end my life. Feel broken and sick. I just need help. I just need help. I'm sick. I just don't want people to know. Then I don't know how I can help. There's another time that in the range, I hit my fist to the wall, and they got fractures. Because I cannot control myself anymore. Because I don't want to hurt my family. That's the only things I can release. So my wife feel that there is some spiritual disturbance. So she asked me to go to church or get a Taoist Sifu, Ghostbuster, Sifu. But I choose church.
Well done.
Amen. Our son already started in children church. My wife also come to the church. I was unhappy to see the worship song on the children church. It's like not real. I cannot believe it. Sometimes I will ask my wife, don't go. I'm sick. I don't go, okay? In October 2015, I accepted Jesus after bumping to Pastor Moy Hao at the old church cafe. At first, I accept Jesus just because I want to comfort my wife. But something special happened during that time. When I sang the sinner prayer, the environment is so noisy, but I only can hear Pastor Moy Hao sound. And I started to cry a lot. No, it's not me. Why I cry? So just cry. Because I was want to be tough all the time. So Pastor Moy Hao assigned us to Adrian CG. Initially, I would avoid. I don't want to go. I only stay with baby Ryan. One day, I dream that I need to follow whatever Adrian do. So he do what? Because he's a leader, he do what? I follow what? So Adrian is a leader in ministry of the marriage course. So both of us went to the marriage course. In the same time, I also joined Become a Better Dad by another CG member, Fan Yuan and Xian Li. I learned how to treat my son better and have more bonding to him. I love my CG. I receive so much love from them. They are a true family. I started to open my heart, knowing they know I'm financial need. So my CG helped me and refer jobs to me. And my family is happier in the CG environment. CG stands for cell group. So after these two courses, we went for a family trip. I encounter a lot of God personally. It's so real. It suddenly feels like you're very connected with God. We witnessed many miracles happen during that time. We walk closely with Holy Spirit. Our prayer answer. And we learn have more peace and heart. After return home, I don't need to take any medications. And I see the miracle, then we decided to baptize. Me and my wife communicate better. We still have to argue a little bit, but can solve the argument very fast. When I cannot sleep, she prayed for me. Before she finished her prayer, I already sleep like a baby. So we take turn to baptize course because I already well, God really saved me. I decided I want to become a Christian. So we go through the courses and arrange the home cleansing by Pastor Jin Leong. Before, a few days before Pastor Jin Leong come, we have a bad dream, a lot of bad dreams. But after Jin Leong come to clear our house, we feel better. I remember the morning that Pastor Moi Hao baptized me in the water. Once I go down to the water, I cry. I feel changed, broken. My old self died and encounter overwhelming peace. Continuous 3 days, I start my car, I listen this song. The song just coming to my mind, the song just coming to the radio, which is called Humble and Kind. 3 days together. Until now, I never heard this song already. Now I'm not easy to get angry. I surrender to God. Everything happened by a reason. Now I serve in Children's Church. End of this month, I will go to my first Myanmar mission. Even things seems difficult, we learn fully trust God. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved you all too. Thank you, Jesus, save my family. Thank you. Thank you.
Mei-Ling, thank you for being here. I'd like to ask you, you know, there's one thing that you'd like to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for the change that you see in Jeffrey.
There's a lot of things I want to thank. I was actually trembling just now. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's cold or I'm nervous or what, but I think I can feel a lot of strong presence, and it's very overwhelming. Yesterday, when we were sharing this testimony, I felt that this heaviness, this my heart is so touched so much that I was doing my very best to hold back all the tears, because as you can see, when Jeff is sharing his testimony, all the memories, the recollection that I have, it's a journey. And I can see how our Lord is so merciful and how he's so loving towards us. I can see when we were going through all that difficulty, when I don't know where we were heading, he can renew Jeff. And I thank him for his love, for renewing Jeff, for supporting him, encouraging him to overcome all his struggles and barriers that used to affect his old self. It is a long and continuing journey for us, and we are still work in progress, like what Jeff said. We still have fights. But I'm thankful and I'm very, very grateful to see Jeff's new self here, having more awareness of his stress, his anger, his rage, and it enabled him to have better self-control and clarity to handle, you know, whatever challenges and difficulties that come our way. So praise God for his endless mercy. I'm so touched. I'm so thankful to many people who came to help us. like our cell group, Pastor Dunn, Pastor Chris, many more people who came to us. And I'm very thankful to Jesus too for saving and restoring our marriage, because you heard what he said. He said at one point he wanted a divorce, and that was terrifying for me, especially when our son is so young. So he did that change for us. And I thank you, because of Jesus, we have this new hope that we can move forward. So thank you so much.
Friends, let's pray for Jeff and for Mei Ling, huh? Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your children here, that in obedience, Lord, they step out to say that they want to share this, God. Because, God, what was shame, now when it's revealed, Lord, that, Lord, it has given them that freedom. And that, Lord, through this, Jeff said, Lord, that someone that is in here that needs to hear, that there will be a change around in that person's life. So, Lord, watch over the relationship of Jeff, Mei Ling, and also their son, Zach, Lord. Father, let, Lord, the husband love the wife like Christ loved his church. And let Mei Ling, God, learn to respect the husband. And through this, God, Christ himself will be central and will bless their marriage, God. So bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, God. The hug from Jeffrey is a gentle hug. If he gives you a big, strong hug, he may break your back, okay? He's actually a gentle giant. And over the number of months, I can really see of God's grace and mercy upon his life. Though he shared that he's going to the Myanmar mission trip at the end of this month, he didn't share this, that 2 weeks ago, he actually led the word section in CG for the first time. And you know what? Yeah, let's give the Lord a big hand, yeah? The cell group members, especially the ladies, love him leading the word part, because the ladies bear everything as in share, huh? Yeah. And there's something in him that is able to draw the people to just, you know, reveal things that needs to be rid of. Amen. And to the cell group, I just want to say how proud I am of all of you. It is a community. It is the body of Christ that we see the love to the other person, that we see a breakthrough. All praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And in DUMC, only strong men cries. True? Amen, amen. Apostle Paul's plea. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, the double emphasis put to death, you must rid of your old self and put on your new self. And the vivid image of this clothes changing. And in verse 1, when we refer back, when we change this, it refers then to the resurrected life of Christ that we are living in. When he arose from the dead, he left the grave clothes behind. Likewise, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus instructed the people to loose him and let him go. And the grave clothes represents the old life with its sinful ways. But now that we have a new life in Christ, we must walk in the clothes of the new life. There's this pastor, Bible teacher, Warren Wiersbe. God wants you to wear the grace clothes, not the grave clothes. Church, if you can't remember the whole message, I'd like you to take this away. You must rid of the old before you can put on the new. And this is a call for our friends that are here for the first time, or those that are backslidden, that you want to return home, that you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To make sense of this message, friends, there must be a profession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Like we heard last week, Lordship. He is Lord above all. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So evidential in the life of Jeffrey and of Mei Ling. If not, then what you hear, if you are trying to seek an application, it is basically doing it in your own strength. And I've seen again and again, when we do it with our own strength, we fall short, we fail, we get frustrated, we get angry, and sometimes it may turn to rage. Yeah? So this morning, I believe that God is so tender, so gentle to you. It's an invitation to you. Come back home. Receive this love that I've been waiting to pour out to your lives. And there are three steps that you can receive this God's love. The first step is this letter S. S stands for sorry. Say sorry to Jesus for the things that you have done wrong, for the hurts and the pain that you have caused. And then the next letter is the letter T. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank Him for what? For dying on the cross, so that He takes all this rubbish, all this sin of yours, so that you can have a new life. And that you believe that He was buried, and on the third day He arose from the dead. Resurrection is very powerful. That means that He lives forevermore. So He is the true and living God. We can believe in Him. And the last letter is the letter P. P stands for the word please. Please, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I can't help myself, but I know that you can help me. So, friends, if you'd like to make this decision to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you'd like to receive His help, His tender love, and a waiting great Father's love to your return. I'd like you at a count of three. You quickly put up your right hand and put it down again. Whether you are doing this for the first time or whether you have gone far away, backslidden, and today you say, Lord, I want to make it sure that I want to return to you. Are you ready? At a count of three, you put up your hand very quickly, right up your right hand, and then put it down again. One, two, and a three. Right across down here, any one of you. Can you just put that up right? Up and put it down again. Anyone at the gallery? Can you do that likewise? Thank you. Thank you. I see the few hands there. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it down. You can put it down. Church, can I encourage us to join this prayer together with our friends that are doing this for the first time? Because we are now a family. And we want to encourage one another as these friends begin their first step in this new life. Let us pray together. Friends, let us pray together. You're doing this for the first time. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry that I've hurt you and pained you. Please accept my apology, which is your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for me, and that you were buried, and on the third day, you arose from the dead. I want to invite you to please come into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. And help me to live this one life from now on to honor you and bring great pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And now the call is for us. Apostle Paul states that there is an urgency to put away all this filth all this old self, all these things of the earth. And we must no longer go on living as though we are still alive to the sin, which we are not supposed to. As Christians, as children of God, we must put away that old life which springs from our old sinful nature. Church, you are going to have to decide who you are going to be. Are you going to put off the old self? If you don't, then be prepared to put up with a life filled with defeats and pains. You are going to have to decide. And as we stand before God, can I invite us to stand? Let the Lord speak to you as we worship Him. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? It is you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Lord has spoken. And when there's a word that speaks forth, there's an action that needs to accommodate or to be given in return. When we are in the house of God, there's no shame. When we are in the house of God, there is freedom. Come and respond to this loving Savior that awaits to grant you this touch. And His touch is so gentle, so loving, so kind, so patient. Come back and receive that restoration in your life.